This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast this week, I want to continue on sharing a message with you out of God's Word concerning the end of this age. Remember, this is the subject we're dealing with, found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sins be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, that falling away, that's what we're dealing with. And you remember the vision that I've expressed to you several times in this series, the vision God showed me standing by the seashore, looking out over the sea and seeing the water so calm and peaceful, looks so innocent that you just want to wade right in. And yet, when you waded into the innocent-looking water, the undertow underneath was so great that it would suck you right under. And God spoke to me about the treacherous work that Satan was about to do, that he was about to do the most subtle work he had ever done since the time of the garden. Well, we want to look on today at that subtle work. That subtle work deals with this falling away at the end of the age. This time now, wherein hordes of apostate teachers are about to emerge in the world who are going to usher in an apostasy, a rejection of Jesus. Certainly, the Lord spoke to me to say that this falling away basically is a rejection of Him. Well, we've been examining for, the past 2 weeks, one verse of Scripture here found in Jude. This is the 11th verse, and he talks here about those apostate teachers. Now, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, we want to look at this gainsaying of Korah this week. Now, we're going to do what we did with the message of Cain and what we did with the message of Balaam, by going right back to the story in the Bible and look and see from the very scriptures as they're written what there is that we should learn about them. And remember that the last day apostate teachers foretold to come would be like all three of these men put together in one. And any one of them is enough to make you sick when you read the story of them in the scripture. Give you an idea now what we can expect in the last day apostate teachers that emerge in the world. Well, let's go to Numbers chapter 16, and let's begin to look into this and follow this story through, and we'll get an example out of the Word of God that will show us the very course that these apostate teachers will take in rising up in the world in the last day and cause such a falling away from God. Well, let's go back now to Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eleb, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Well, here we begin to see now where Korah rises up, and we see how he rose up and stuck his head up. First of all, I want you to understand something about this man called Korah. Now, he was a Levite. And remember that God gave to the tribe of Levi to be the ministers of God. And to the house of Aaron, God gave the priesthood. Now, all the Levites then were in a position where out of them, the ministers of the tabernacle would be chosen, and they would have their duties and responsibilities before God. And now, Korah is in that number. He's a minister of God. He has his place. He's been appointed of God to duties, and, well, all this is true in his life, but, you know, he wasn't satisfied with that. Now, whenever people become dissatisfied, somebody said misery loves company. And they start looking for someone to pour it out on. Now, when people get begruntled about God, the way of God, and you'll see this sometimes happen right in a church. Well, they get begruntled, and then they look for others to sympathize with them that they've got a case. And that their case is good, and it's right. And, of course, the ministry in the church is wrong, so they want to rise up above it. So Korah had these ideas now. He was envious of Aaron. He saw that priesthood. He saw Aaron in his, fine-dressed uniform of the day that God gave him to wear, and saw that the office of the priest was seemed to him a much greater office than what he had. And, well, he envied that. And he wanted to somehow get it, take it away from Aaron, rise up and get himself into that position. Well, he wasn't able to do it alone. So he was talking now, evidently, to Dathan, Abiram, and On, these three men. And, well, he poured out his complaint to them. And, you know, like poison, like venom, you know, an old snake bites you, the venom gets in you. When it gets in you, my land's going to poison you. So, like a snake, he bit Dathan, he bit Abiram, he bit On, and my, now they got the same poison in them. My, they've been poisoned by this. I wonder James wrote what he wrote in James chapter 3, talking about the tongue being a deadly evil, a deadly poison. My, the poison of words can become very, very great. So these men are now poisoned inside with this same venom that has gotten into Korah, and so they're going to go along with him. They're going to be a partaker with him. Now 250 of the princes, men of renown. Now you see, they weren't just fooling around. These were men that were respected in the congregation. Well, they were the greater men of the congregation, and my, he got this thing now sewed into three men's heart, and they go out here, and my, they've poisoned 250 princes. My, think about that. Start out with one, then they got three more. Well, now the four of them go to work, and next thing you know, there's 250 princes that have been really poisoned, and they're turned against Moses, they're turned against Aaron, and this poison is filling their hearts. And so finally it got serious enough in their hearts that they decided it's time now, you know, that we better rise up and do something. So, well, you know, when people got this venom in them that they're going to take over, well, look out, because they're going to put every effort into it they can. So we notice what they did then. It said, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you. All right now, here's the real test. God-given authority. God-given place. Now, God called Moses. God gave Moses the solemn duty and obligation now in his calling to go back from down in Medina, go back to Egypt, go back there and deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. God talked to Moses out there by that burning bush. God gave Aaron to Moses as a mouthpiece, and God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver the children of Israel out of their bondage. Now, there's no doubt in our mind that God did that, is there? how we realize they're God's chosen for that work. Now, they're godly leaders, they're set in office of God, and they hold a godly office. Now, these men are intruders. They're intruding into this office. They're ready to step on these godly leaders. They're ready to put down that which God has raised up and raise up their ugly heads above it. And may we know that this is the course that the apostates will tend to take. Then they're going to rise up against rightful God-given authority, and they're going to take authority in their own hand, and these last-day apostate teachers, hordes that will come, will be men like this. They're certainly going to be presumptuous and self-willed, and in their own way, they believe that they're going to take over and take authority, and surely they're going to usher in a falling away and an apostasy that's going to seem unbelievable in this last day. Well, here's just the beginning of a story. But they come to Moses and they say, well, you took too much upon you. Now, we're holy too, and all the congregation is holy. Now, who do you think you are, Moses, to run this show? Who do you think you are? And they're questioning Moses' authority. And they're there to put Moses and Aaron down, trying to rise up above these men that God had called and appointed to this business. Well, this is one thing then that we're going to have to get into our hearts and minds as we understand now from Korah that this is the kind of thing we're going to learn. Well, tomorrow we'll go right on and we'll look deeper into this matter, and I'm sure it'll open your eyes to some truth. Father, I pray you'd quicken the word today, blessing it into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with the message here about this last day falling away. Going back to Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, I've told you this before, and I'll stress it again, that the last day apostate teacher will be like all three of these men combined in one. Gone the way of Cain, run greedily like Balaam, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, today, are you praying for revival? Is revival on your heart and mind? Do you realize the church is about to receive its greatest attack in all the centuries? You realize the church is going to really face a desperate hour, and it's going to be a desperate hour to stand and stay with the truth and stay with Jesus. Well, today, we need to pray. We need to pray earnestly. We need to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Come on, let's stand with God. Let's pray for revival. Let's be serious in this hour about this matter. Don't push this off. Don't take it lightly. Well, yesterday, we left off with verse 3 here in Numbers chapter 16. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and on coming along with 250 of the princesses, and come to withstand Moses, come saying unto Moses and Aaron, you take too much upon you. Well, breaking in now, intruding into Moses and Aaron's office, and really trying to put down these rightful leaders that God raised up. Now, we think about sedition, overthrowing rightful, godly leadership. You know, if you look carefully at the Word of God, you will always find that God put everything in order. And there is an order as far as God is concerned. We could even look at you now in your family and realize that God put an order there. God said, of the man, the husband, that he's the head of the wife. And then we look and we see there's order in a family. There's a head for every household. Now, the wife being in subjection to her own husband, loving, submitting, serving together with her husband, being heirs together of the grace of life, a husband recognizing his wife as that weaker vessel, showing honor unto her, and going on and serving God together, and children in subjection to their parents. That's an order. We realize that's God-given order. God set order in the church. God gave gifts unto the church, and he set in the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry. And God set these offices in the church, and, well, God raises up faithful men to fill those offices, and, well, it's God-given authority. And surely God said to the congregation that they should submit themselves unto the rule of the elders. And we could look at, you know, Hebrews 13, verse 17, and God would say to you, you should obey them that have the rule over you in the Lord. And, you know, you should submit yourself for love's sake, for they watch for your soul. And no matter how you look, God set an order in the church. Well, now, these last day apostate teachers are going to come, you know, in hordes, and they're going to put down God-given authority. And they, like Korah, will raise up to take authority. They'll raise up like they're raising up here now against Moses, saying, Moses, you take too much upon you. And we're holy too. And, well, they're there to put Moses out of business. Well, if God raises up authority, then be it known unto you and I that to resist that authority is to resist God. To try to put down that authority is going to bring the judgment of God. Now, these last-day apostate teachers will perish in their gainsaying, even as Korah did. They'll only go so far, and they'll bring swift destruction upon themselves. Well, let's look on here. We have to note a godly man now, like Moses. Moses, a man of all men in the earth, a man most meek. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Now you see, a God-given authority here, a godly man, a humble man, a meek man, instead of saying, you try it and I'll paste you in the mouth, or I'll take a club to you, or I'll do this, and threaten, no, he's like Jesus. When they took Jesus, he threatened not. When they beat him, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And as godly men and women, we have to stand in our rightful place and believe that God, who put us there, will take care of us there. Moses did what he should do. He fell on his face, and he talked to God about it. Now, Moses knew what they were up to. Moses knew what this meant. So he turned to the Lord, and he prayed, and he sought God about it. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire thereupon, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Now, going to put the thing to the test. Everything's going to come to the test at some point, isn't it? I mean, we all know there's going to be a judgment day, don't we? We know that every secret thing is going to be revealed. We know that every Christian will stand before and appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, there we're going to be judged as to merit reward. And there our works are going to be tested so as by fire. And we know there's a day of judgment when, we would look and say, that great day of judgment, that great white throne judgment, when all of the wicked shall stand and give an account of their wickedness before the earth. Now, Moses is really now calling here for judgment. And Moses realized there's got to be a showdown here. Now, either we're going to stay in our rightful place where God placed us, and we're going to stay in authority and in command of this congregation in leading the children of Israel, or else, now, we're going to stay in this place. God put us here. Moses said, well, tomorrow, even tomorrow, God will make choice. Well, you see, he fell on his face. He heard from God down there, laying on his face. God spoke to him what to do. So now he's telling these men to get their censers ready and be ready and prepared that God will bring this test. But he sums it up by making this statement. And surely we'll have to say this of the last day apostate teachers. This will be true of them. You take too much upon you. They're going to be presumptuous and self-willed, and they're going to take over. And when they come, they'll take over. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be easy to resist the gainsaying of the apostate teachers, for as Paul saw them coming, Paul said, men will heap unto themselves teachers having itchy ears. People are going to like them. Now, I want you to know the congregation likes Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, because, after all, they're saying what the people want to hear. Now, the people are holy. Now, all the people are all right, and boy, they're for all the people now. They're the spokesman of what they feel for all the people. They feel they've got the backing now of the princes. They've got the backing of the congregation, and, my, they're going to take over. Moses, this is going to be the end of you. That's their idea. We're going to run this show. God says, through Moses, now you sons of Levi, you take too much upon you. Well, now I think there's a real challenge here. Yes, a very real challenge. No, it's a challenge of rightful authority. In sowing seeds of sedition, remember, sedition is always against rightful authority now. We can get seditious, we can get rebellious, and we can just want to put the man of God down. But woe to them that put their finger upon God. Now, remember the words of the Lord? He said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Ma, I'll tell you, we best leave the anointed of God alone. God's going to rise up for their defense. God is the defense of the righteous. God is the defense of his anointed. The anointed never did have to defend themselves. God defends them. Oh, you might feel like you're getting away, you know, running over your pastor. You may be stepping on him. You may be treading on him. But woe unto you. You're treading on God. And one day, you're going to find out that your big foot's pretty heavy. And you may reap what you're sowing. Well, I advise anybody today, don't touch God's anointed. If you don't understand something, better to keep your mouth shut than to touch God's anointed. Leave him alone. Let God take care. And if something's wrong, you pray about it. God'll hear. God'll respond. God'll answer. But let's not take authority into our own hands. Well, you take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Well, what's this going to lead to? Well, this kind of rebellion is bound to spread. Now, they had authority. They were ministers of God. They did have a ministry in the tabernacle. They did have a good part with the Lord. And with this, they got discontent. They got dissatisfied. Korah was dissatisfied with what God gave him. Now, the sons of Levi are in that same position. Many now of the sons of Levi are listening to Korah, and surely they're bringing themselves into that point now where it's going to lead them down the wrong road. Well, we'll pick up right here tomorrow and go on with verse 8. Father, quicken the word and make it real and alive in our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message taken here from a text in Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, we're looking at Korah and his life and his gainsaying and his end, and we're doing what Jude is doing. We're comparing him now to these last day apostate teachers that God forewarns us will emerge in the world here and not very far down the road. And I've been prophetically telling you that this is coming, and God showed me this is what we better prepare ourselves for. We need a revival. We need to move with God, and we need to stick with Jesus, and we need to stand as this horde of false teachers emerge in the world in this last day and usher in such and apostasy? Are you praying for revival? Are you seeking God for revival? Well, you should be. Let's seek God with all of our hearts. Well, we're going on today and continue on now looking into what is taking place here as Korah has risen up, convinced 250 of the princes among the people to go along with him, gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and complained that they had taken too much upon them, started to really break forth now against their rightful God-given authority. Well, Moses says, you be prepared on tomorrow, and God's going to show who's holy, and God's going to show who he has chosen to head this congregation. Well, Moses prayed and put the thing to God, and surely Moses said to them in verse 7, well, you take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? My, Moses knew their motives, didn't they? And seek ye the priesthood also? You see, the motives of people will always come to light in the midst of what they're doing. Well, they're going to take over. And you can see now what was their game. They saw the priesthood. Now, it looked better to them, and they wanted that. And this is what Korah wanted. He wanted that. He envied that. And he was willing to do all it took to get it. So Mai stirred up a lot of controversy in the camp now, and has really set himself to do it. Well, I mean, brother and sister, may we know and may we realize that when you start running over somebody that God has appointed, you're in trouble. And they're in trouble now. They are setting themselves to really take authority out of the hands of Moses. Now, I mean, just because you can wrestle something away from someone, that don't mean it's yours. I mean, you can see that happen many times. Well, someone said possession is 9/10 of the law. Yeah, the mugger runs down the street, he wrestles a purse away from an old woman and runs off. Well, it's his, he says. But don't forget, there's a judgment day and he's going to answer to that. Maybe that old woman will never get him. Maybe the police will never get him, but he'll get caught somewhere someday. He'll not get away with that. Much more, many of the things which people do as far as God is concerned, and as these New Testament apostles and prophets foretold, they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. These apostate teachers won't go too far. No, God will bring judgment upon them for what they do. Well, they're going to perish in the gainsaying of Korah. So we see the example here. They want more. Now, surely Moses realized what they were up to. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Now we realize now Moses has to, you know, he has to speak up after all. I mean, he's in the rightful place of authority, and this is not a place to say, well, I'll just lay down and pretend I'm dead. Oh no, he stood his ground with this because after all, God-given authority has to stand. And we do have to have a certain amount of backbone, a certain amount of courage to face the opposition. And we Christians of the last day are going to need a lot of courage to stand up against the flood tide and the horde of apostate teachers that will emerge in the world. We're going to need some backbone, some courage. We're just going to have to stand up in the face of all of this and say, we don't care what you teach. We're going to stay with Jesus. We're not going to deny the blood of Jesus. We're not going to turn away. We're not going to follow your cunningly devised fables. We're not going to follow your form of godliness denying the power thereof. We're not going to follow you who resist the truth and have no love for the truth. We're not going to follow you in your way. We're going to have a certain amount of courage. And so is godly leaders in the last days here going to have some courage to stand and preach and declare the truth and stand against this awful thing that's about to break forth in the world today. Come on, Christian. You ought to get down to business and pray and seek God and get your own heart prepared. Oh, we'll let things slip. We'll let things go by. We'll put up with things. We'll just not say nothing until things get so bad. Come on, let's get a hold of God now. Now's the time to pray. Well, surely. It says in verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Moses called them to come. He called them to talk to them. And they said, we're not coming. Well, now see what kind of an attitude they got in them. They were going to talk. Oh, my, we're going to rebel. And you see, the venom of Korah now has created rebellion in these two. Now, they're full of rebellion. They're not going to. And they got a bitter, sour attitude. They're sarcastic unto Moses. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether prince over us. Oh, my. Now, you see, God promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey. God delivered them out of a house of bondage. Here they are now, convinced in their heart that they were better off in Egypt. My, down there, they lived in a land that flowed with milk and honey. My, you brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness. Now you're going to raise up and make yourself a prince altogether over us. Oh, they're filled with rebellion, aren't they? This is what we can expect to see getting into the hearts of people. Rebellion. Oh, yes, they're going to take what God said and turn it around. Sure, they're going to be saying, where is the promise of His coming? Oh, they're going to question the blood. They're going to trample the blood of Jesus under their feet. Oh, Christian, we better pray. We better prepare our hearts. We better get prepared to stand. Well, where is that land that flows with milk and honey? Where is that vineyard now that was promised unto us? And boy, they really now are in that position where, you know, rebellion is sticking its ugly head up. And they provoked Moses. Not to evil. They provoked Moses to pray. They provoked Moses to pray. What do we need to provoke us to pray? What do we need? Brother and sister, we ought to start praying now. I've been talking to you for months about praying for revival. I know to many that's like water off a duck's back. It never gets in. It don't sink into your hearts. It should. Now, it provoked Moses to pray. And Moses, it said, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses goes to God. God, tomorrow, when they come out with their censers and offer up their, you know, their incense, Lord, respect it not. Moses is praying against them. Moses is praying that God will stand now with him. And so Moses said, now, God, you know, I haven't taken one ass from one of them. I haven't done no hurt to them. I've not touched them. I've not did them in. I've not said nothing about them. Lord, you know they've come up against me. Well, surely God knew they came up. God knew the reason why they came up. And so now Moses is praying. And Moses' prayer is going to be heard. Remember, Moses is God's man. Ah, as far as Moses is concerned, God said, I don't speak to Moses in dark sayings. Oh, like I do the prophets. No, I speak to Moses face to face, mouth to mouth. My God surely was going to stand with his prophet Moses. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Uh-oh. Tomorrow there's going to be a showdown. Tomorrow God's going to show. And you know, I want you to know there's going to be a day. There's going to be a showdown when God will show who are His and who has been faithful and who is holy and who has stood. And after all the emerging of false apostate teachers at the end of the age, surely know this, at the coming of Jesus, the Lord will know his own. And only those that belong to him, that have been faithful to him and true to him, are going to be raptured away out of the world ahead of that terrible day of tribulation that's coming in the earth. And a multitude of those who go apostate will go plunging headlong right on into the tribulation, only to be spit out of the Lord's mouth right into the fire. Well, surely you and I ought to bear in our mind, it's very important for us to be ready to stand. Tomorrow, he said, God will show who are his. Well, it's put to the test. Well, we'll pick up right here tomorrow and go on. Father, I pray that you'd quicken the word. I pray that you'd bless it and make it real in our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. Now on the broadcast today, I'd like to continue on with this message based upon this verse of Scripture in Jude chapter 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now we're looking into Korah. We're looking into this gainsaying, and we're certainly noting from our study here in Numbers chapter 16 of Korah what gainsaying is all about and how these last day apostate teachers will be filled with gainsaying, how they're going to come on the scene and how they're going to take over, and they're going to put themselves in the place where they're going to resist godly authority on every side, rise up to put down rightful leaders. Surely this is their way. Well, as we were finishing up yesterday, we were talking now about the confrontation that Moses said would be tomorrow. Remember now, we have saw how Korah influenced Dathan and Abiram, and on, and then went and influenced 250 princes, men of renown, turned them against Moses and against Aaron and their authority, and came now and spewed themselves out and said, well, will you take too much upon you? And how Moses prayed and then had to challenge him, finally telling them, well, I mean, it seems a small thing unto you that God had separated you for your calling as ministers of the tabernacle? And now, what do you want more? You seek the priesthood also? And Moses knew what they were like. Remember the haughty attitude we talked about? How in Dathan and Abiram were called to Moses. They said, we'll not come up. And they slammed at Moses and sarcastically replied to him. And how it provoked Moses till he fell on his face and he prayed and he sought God and surely caused God to move. And Moses said, God, you respect not their offering. God, you know I haven't harmed one of them. I haven't done nothing to them. Moses and Aaron hadn't done anything to deserve this. You and I don't have to do anything to deserve all that will be thrown at us. And brother and sister, God has warned us that when these last day teachers emerge, their way is going to be so subtle, it's going to look innocent, and people are going to walk right into it, not knowing that they're going to be sucked under that undertow and carried away, never to get out of it. Oh my, that's what apostasy is all about. Let's us remember. Well, we look on now, and the following day then, the Moses had told them that they should take 250 men now and put censers in their hand, and Aaron a censer in his hand, and well, they were going to go before the Lord and burn incense, and well, something was going to happen. There was going to be a showdown. Well, a showdown will always come. Eventually, everything comes to a head. Even the boil on your arm comes to a head. The pimple there on your chin, it'll come to a head after a while, won't it? So will troubles come to a head, and problems are bound to come to a head after a while. And here now we see, today's the day that this problem's coming to a head. God's going to straighten this thing out for Moses. God's going to show that gainsaying like this will bring swift judgment. I have to look at verse 14 very carefully, and I want you to look with me, or at verse 19, very carefully. Remember, we're in Numbers chapter 16. Look at that in your Bible. Examine this. Now, you see a truth here that, well, we've got to realize now how far the gainsaying will go. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Now, I have to make note of what that says. Korah now has enough influence over the congregation of Israel that he gathered all of the congregation against Moses. All of it. Now, you think about that. Remember, first he influenced Dathan, Abiram, On. Now, he caused that influence to spread to 250 princes. My, now they've blabbed their mouth and sowed their sedition and spread their poison in the hearts. Now they've influenced the whole congregation of Israel. Now Moses and Aaron, the rightful godly leaders, now are isolated from the whole congregation. Everybody's against them. Now this rebellion came to the point now and to the place where it's this great that he could go on now and bring this and cause the whole congregation to turn. Now, you can see how far a matter will go. Now, this is the gainsaying referred to in Jude 11, that they're going to turn the congregation of God against rightful authorities, rightful doctrine, rightful teaching, the Scripture, turn the authority around, and even turn against the Lord, deny the Lord, reject the Lord. My, I mean, this is how far this thing will go in the last day. And Paul said, there'd be a great falling away, and it would lead to the Antichrist coming, that one that would exalt himself and oppose himself above all that's called God. Oh, this thing coming to a terrible showdown at the end of the age, and the apostate church is going to be the object now, the thing the devil is going to use to usher this thing in. And I want you to know these apostate teachers are not of God, and they're going to emerge. They're going to be anointed of the devil. They're going to be inspired of hell. They're going to be against Jesus. And it's coming. Oh my. Some of you say, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. Just hang around a little while and you'll see it. Someday you'll look on, you'll say, well now Brother Daly tried to tell us this. God warned him that this would come and explained it to him what would come, and he tried to tell us, and well, we just wagged our heads at him. We said, well, it's not God. It won't be. Oh, don't kid yourself. Well, in that day, we'll find out. Surely they found out in this day when the judgment began to fall. Oh, my, I can't help but think now of the seriousness of the matter. The whole congregation's turned against God, turned against God's leaders. Wow. What can happen out of all of this? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Whew. God's angry. God's angry. Someone said, I don't believe God ever gets angry. Well, God's angry here. Now, the Bible says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us not be of that mind that says that some things won't stir the anger of the Lord in this last day. Now, these last day apostate teachers will stir the anger of God. The anger of the Lord is going to be against them. And both Peter and Jude and Paul all describe that they're going to bring up on themselves swift destruction. My, it won't go too far. It can't go too far. My, it'll come to a head fast when it comes. But all today, whose side are you on? Are you going to stay with Jesus? Are you going to stay with the truth? Arm your mind with this one thing. You're not going to reject Jesus at the teaching of apostate false teachers in the last day, are you? You're not going to turn away from him, are you? You know he died on that cross, don't you? You know he shed his blood on that cross. You know the Lord suffered and agonized and cried out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Are you going to forsake him too? Are you going to turn aside at the teaching that's about to emerge in the world? Such ungodly teacher trampling the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ under their feet. Oh my, the willful sin of these men will be great. You watch, it's coming. God knows it's coming. God's forewarned us it's coming. Let's be prepared. Oh, surely. Well, this is what is here now. God says to Moses and Aaron, hey, come on, separate yourself from this congregation. I'll destroy them in a moment. Whew, my lands. I don't want to be around a crowd like that. And they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin
And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Dear old Moses, concerned about everybody, isn't he? Doesn't want anybody to get hurt. Moses realized it came from one person. He realized the gainsaying came from Korah. And Moses is just in essence saying, God, put your finger on Korah. He's the guy. Put your judgment on him. Don't blame the congregation. They've been poisoned by him. Well, surely that's the way it is, and we realize that. And God listened to Moses. God listened. Surely it goes right on to relate to us that God listened. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. My, God's given the people a chance. Come on now. You're going to follow them, you're going to follow me. You're going to stay with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? With Korah? Are you going to stay with that crowd now? Or are you going to stay with Moses and Aaron and stay with God in the process? Oh, the people got to make up their mind real quick. My, better make up your mind right now who you're going to stick with. Are you going to stick with last day apostate teachers? Are you going to stick with a crowd that are deniers of godliness, deniers, surely a form of godliness, denying the power thereof? Are you going to stand with those who certainly are reprobate concerning the faith, who deny the truth, who have no love for the truth? Are you going to stay with Jesus? Are you going to stay with the preacher who preaches the word to you and the truth to you? You'll make up your mind one day, too, which side of the fence you're going to get on. And in this last day, we're going to have to. We're either going to be with the compromisers, we're going to be with the apostates, we're going to bust hell wide open with them, or we're going to follow Jesus and walk with the true and the faithful. My, let this message get in your heart and help you to walk with the Lord and really follow on with the Lord. I think it's so important that we follow on with the Lord in this day. Surely God is warning us of a terrible time to come. Have you thought about it? Is what I'm saying to you in this broadcast, in this series, making any sense to you? Does it alert you? Surely, as one listener writing to me this past week, expressing to me that the message is very enlightening, yet grieves the heart to think that such things would be. Well, there's a heart that's open to listen and consider. Is your heart open? Are you listening? Are you considering what I'm saying? Father, quicken the word today. Make it real. Make it alive in every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on with a message taken here based on a verse in Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, we're going back today to Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to look farther into this matter of gainsaying, and we're looking and following on here as God is enlightening us to what it's going to be like right here at the end of the age as we're faced with a horde of false apostate teachers that will be emerging in the world like we've never heard of before. Let's get our hearts and minds in tune and prepare to stand with Jesus no matter what. Let nothing turn us away from the truth that's in Christ Jesus. Well, consider this. Are you praying for revival? Are you doing your part to really pray for revival? You should seek God with all of your heart in these days, shouldn't you? Well, let's consider all of that. Well, today I'm wanting you to consider this, certainly. Now, I'm going on today in Numbers chapter 16. We left off yesterday, Moses now really interceding as God was about to destroy the whole congregation of Israel because they had followed Korah, and Korah gathered themselves, surely, and Korah gathering Dathan, Abiram, the princes, gathering together the whole congregation now to withstand Moses. God was ready to destroy him. Moses, in his intercession, God heard him. Surely Moses interceded that God wouldn't destroy them. God said, well then, call those people to separate themselves from these wicked men. Moses made intercession not only to God, but pleaded with the people to forsake following them. That's the mercy of God, isn't it, really? God was merciful. Well, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Well, it said, and Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram and the elders of Israel, saying, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all of their sins. Now, there's something to consider. Oh, that's a weighty point as far as I'm concerned. It says this to me. I like that to filter into your mind, too. If we follow these last-day apostate teachers, we will become a partaker of all of their sins, and we'll be judged with them as a partaker. You know, God said, be not a partaker of another man's sins. Look, we should know it right now. We shouldn't have to wait later to find it out. You better make up your mind right now who you're going to follow. You're going to follow God. You're going to follow God because you're going to follow His Son Jesus, whom He gave. You're going to stick with Jesus. And you're going to stick with those godly leaders that God has appointed to lead His people on in victory under the coming of Jesus Christ. You're going to stand. You're not going to be swayed away. But this thing will be cunning. This thing will be more subtle than anything. Remember how subtle it was with Eve. She fell so easily, didn't she? Remember the vision, the innocent-looking water. You walked in and that undertow couldn't be seen until you were caught away in it. Well, that's the way this thing will be. Now, God forewarns us that it's coming, so we'll be prepared. We'll watch. I mean, we just got to watch. And you're going to see. And this thing will come to light now. You're going to see hordes when they get it into operation of teachers whose teaching will be subtle. It'll look good. It'll just fit you when you want to live fleshy, when you want to live after the flesh and not after the Spirit. It'll just fit the congregation, you know. They're going to want, and it'll cause a multitude to turn away from the way of the Spirit unto a way of the flesh. Satan's cunningly devised way to lead men and women astray. Remember, this horde of last-day false teachers will be anointed of hell. They'll be anointed of the devil. It is the subtle work of Satan to defile and infiltrate the church in the last day. And he's going to cause a great falling away. And it's going to bring judgment from God because of it. That's the way it is here, too. Well, I say all of that, that it might sink into your heart, that you'll be well aware of it as this thing emerges. Now, they're being taught now, and Moses is saying, and look at verse 26 here in Numbers 16 very carefully. Moses is saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Don't touch anything that's there, lest you be consumed in their sins. Well, so they got them up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their children. Oh my, right here I hate to see. I hate to see, you know, somebody get involved in terrible things that will bring, you know, the judgment to fall upon their wives, fall upon their children, like in this case. See wickedness get a hold. It gets right into a family. It just gets inbred into everybody. And surely it can bring the judgment of God. And here's a case at point where it's going to affect the lives of their whole families. Now, Moses is going to say something again. And once again, we have to kind of consider what he's saying. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have done none of them of my own mind. Now he's going to give him a sign to show that God had called him, that he didn't take this upon himself, that it was God who called him and set him in this high office. It was God who put him in charge to deliver his people out of Egypt. And surely want that really to be a very clear point. And so this is the sign that is given. If these men die a common death, or die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth openeth her mouth and swalloweth them up, and all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then shall ye understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Well, my, Moses really puts a sign out here now. I don't like the sound of it, do you? Sounds like judgment coming. Sounds now like a judgment like, well, nobody'd ever seen before. If these men die a common death, well, you know what I mean? If they had a coronary thrombosis or something, we'd say, well, ma, that's quite common. I mean, if they died of cancer, we'd say, well, that's quite common. If they just died of a natural old age, we'd say, well, that's quite common. Well, Moses said, if these men die a natural death, if they die an ordinary death, then you know God hadn't called me. I just took this all on myself. But if God does a new thing, and if God opens up the ground and swallows them up, then you're going to know that God has called me. Now, we talk about the words of the New Testament apostles as they kept stressing this truth to us. These men who bring in these damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, these men with their pernicious ways, and because of by whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, have such an effect upon the minds of people, through covetousness shall they make merchandise of the people, running greedily after the error of Balaam, their very doctrine the way of Cain, denying the blood, denying the sacrifice of Christ on that cross for their sins. My, the gainsaying of Korah now, turning the congregation of God against God, turning the congregation of God against the really God-given leaders of God's people. My, when we look at all this, we'll understand why we have men like Paul of old writing to the church and saying, well, my, just before the end of the age there'd be a great falling away. My, we have the words of the Lord speaking to Laodicea and saying, well, so then, because you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth because you say that you're rich. You're increased with goods. You have need of nothing. Running greedily after the error of Balaam. Covetous, can't have enough. Gain to them will be godliness. And surely we see the Lord saying, well, you don't know that you're poor and miserable and wretched and naked and blind. And the Lord said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. My, saints of God, open our eyes. Let's listen. Let's look to God. Let's let God touch our hearts. Let's gain understanding. Well, I'm not going to have time to finish that this week, but come Monday, we'll come right back here. I want you to see the conclusion of this matter. I want you to see what swift judgment will be all about on the apostates also at the end of the age. So we have a lot more to look into in this. Let's open our hearts and let's be prepared to just receive that truth. Father, quicken that word and make it real and alive in our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.